Sound the alarm. It's time for another emergency podcast. Another coach has been given the axe. Brad Scott is gone out of Essendon. Ed Burke, you were there. Let's get straight into it. What happened at the hangar this morning and what have we learned?
Arrived at Tullamarine Marine in heavy fog this morning. The Bombers were already on the track. They brought training forward. It caught a few of their diehard fans who are usually there on a Tuesday off guard, but they wanted the players to avoid the media scrum in the car park and get out on the track. And from what I could tell, spirits were pretty high. It might have been one of those artificial things where make an effort to pick themselves up, but it was the most animated I've seen an Essendon session this season, being out there, and I've watched a fair bit of training out there. Dean Solomon was doing a lot of pointing and directing around, and as we know, he became interim coach later in the day. Ben Jacobs was the other assistant coach taking training. I think all their fit players were out there. There was about 30 or so on the track. Zach Merritt running around, talking to Dean Solomon a bit. So spirits seemed high, but you know, they're putting on a show for the cameras. Cameras were there the whole time, so I'm not sure how much you read into that.
Yeah, Lauren Wood is also here. It was weekend meetings. It was a Monday meeting with Brad Scott, and now he's gone. Were you surprised when the news started coming through at, 7:30 Tuesday morning?
I wasn't surprised with the outcome. I was really surprised with the timing. I was at Dreamtime and the G on Friday night. It was diabolical when it came to the injury crisis that they faced realistically. They had no fit players left on the bench. I think everyone came away from that game saying, you know, this is really dire. They've obviously lost to Richmond. They've got West Coast and Carlton coming up. This was going to be a really formative few weeks. But I certainly didn't think it would be now, and particularly off the back of that game, much less after the passing of Neil Danaher, who is arguably, you know, he's an Essendon person. He played there. He was such a stalwart of that club and has such a long, rich family history with that club. So I think that was the really surprising thing, that, you know, what played out over the weekend did. Ultimately, the final decision, as Andrew Welsh said in the press conference today, came after the news had broken that that Neil had passed away, even though the board had reached his decision, told Brad Scott last night, and then they had another early meeting this morning. So in terms of the decision itself, no, I think it's unfortunate to say it, but the writing was on the wall.
Felt inevitable.
After, as he said, the losses that they'd been having, the way that those games had been playing out, I think everyone realised realistically that he wasn't the man for next year, so why continue on? But no, the timing really struck me. I didn't love it.
Yeah, the timing is interesting, particularly after, a month and a half ago on the back page of our paper, the Herald Sun, exclusive interviews with Jay Clark saying he's going to be our next premiership coach, and now, only 6 weeks or so later, he's gone. And what happened at Essendon? Did they go back on their word? Why did they change their mind?
Well, Andrew Welsh spoke a lot about the nature of the losses. That was the thing that he kept going back to, the nature of them. And I'm not sure that there are many other coaches who could have coached the Bombers to victory against Richmond on Saturday night with those injuries. They finished the game with 19 fit players, maybe fewer than that. I'm just not convinced by that. I just think it was a bit of hot air at the time, the absolute belief remarks. Brad Scott, seemingly up until the last moment, thought that he was aligned with the CEO and the president on that, them being part of the rebuild, being both on the board at the time they came up with those decisions. So whatever you think about what Brad Scott said about the strategy and him not seeking to top up the list with older players from other clubs, which he did do a little bit with Ben McKay, Jag Gresham. He says he could have done more of that, but didn't want to because he was focused on this strategy. Andrew Welsh mentioned in his press conference that he thought Brad Scott had been uncompromising in sticking to that strategy. So from what I can understand, he's tried to do exactly what the board has asked of him. So it does feel like a brutal call.
Yeah, it was fascinating last week, obviously, on AFL 360. He laid that out and he put it on the board, Lauren, that it's their call. I'm just doing what they're told, basically. Do you think that was almost a political misstep? Did he put himself into trouble by making that so clear?
No, I think Brad's a seasoned enough operator to know exactly what he's saying. I think he's obviously lived this scenario before at North Melbourne. I'm not calling it an ultimatum, but I think it was a little bit of, you know, actually make your decision here. And then obviously the interview with Tim Roberts on Seven News came out a couple of days following that, where he declared that he was absolutely certain that Brad Scott was the one to coach. So I think Andrew Welsh's was, as you say, the better part of 6 weeks ago. A lot can change in that time. They've gone, you know, another 6 weeks without a victory that's been won in a calendar year, which is, you know, arguably you can't really go against the wins and loss column, can you? But Tim, I don't think maybe did it any favours. We know that these things can often be a long interview that is then trimmed up for things like the nightly news. That was clearly the quote that was going to be used. And not that he backed away from it today, Ed, but it was put to him that were you, in fact, absolutely certain at the time? I mean, you could argue that could he say anything else?
Yeah, well, you can't
in
say
that
not.
Position. You're the chief executive of the club, and you've got to back your man in at the time. But it sounds like it was a pretty busy weekend for them.
definitely. Dean Solomon, as you mentioned, Ed, he's now the man in charge, probably unsurprisingly, but they've got an extremely thin assistant coaching panel for the next half season now. How are they going to cope getting through the next, 13 games or so?
Well, if they were taking an interim from the assistant coaches, they had to go to Solomon by default. He's the only one with enough experience. He's the only one with significant coaching experience at another club from his time with Fremantle and Gold Coast. I asked Tim Roberts whether they needed to hire a senior assistant coach to spend time with the football department in the second half of the season because their stocks are so thin. But he said they had full faith in the existing assistant coaches. So you got Ben Jacobs, Cam Roberts, Brent Stanton. They're not big names. They haven't been linked to any senior coaching
not
jobs
a lot of
previously.
Experience there.
No, but he said that they have a lot of depth in those ranks and he trusted that group to see out the season. So he also confirmed that there were going to be no other departures from the football department. So we know that a few of these guys are Brad Scott's men, yeah, Ben Jacobs from North Melbourne, the VFL coach, Cam Joyce, Todd Goldstein, a development coach. So at this stage, they're all expected to stay.
Well, this is obviously after the departure of Daniel G and Siracusa, who you would think would have been the perfect candidate if he had stayed. Of course, departed to Hawthorn in that head of development role there at the end of last season, didn't go to the best and fairest. So there was obviously a little bit of tension there upon his exit. But I mean, he would have been another one who could have at least boosted that sort of experience level, couldn't he, at the end of last year? But he's obviously out and the young ones are in. So it really had to be Solly. Obviously, he was moved off the board into the assistant coaching role. Andrew Welsh said today that that was never the plan, but it has worked out nicely.
Yeah, well, here we are. Probably the most impressive thing of the day at the hangar was the skipper showed up just almost 24 hours post-surgery on his face. It was all bruised and swollen, all that sort of stuff. And he addressed the media. What did he have to say?
Discharged from hospital this morning, Andrew McGrath. So he had surgery yesterday. He was looking very yellow and purple on his right jawbone where he had the collision against Richmond. Really brave of him to get in front of the group and speak because I don't think he'd been planning to come into the club today. He actually found out over the phone while he was still in hospital this morning. He said he'd been texting Brad Scott last night, I think, about his upcoming surgery and just exchanging messages there, but didn't know about the decision. So he said his initial reaction was disappointment. He said that they've got a close relationship. He said the captain-coach relationship is very special to him, but he said the players would get behind Dean Solomon. He did say that the reaction from the group was a bit of shock.
What better to do with a broken jaw than turn up and have to talk? I feel for Andy in that scenario.
Yeah. Zach Merritt came up at that press conference, Ed. What does this mean for him?
Tim Roberts and Andrew Welsh said that Merritt's willingness to remain at the club wasn't a factor in the decision. It was an interesting comment you pointed out. They did say a few times they weren't going to be pushed around by other clubs.
Andrew Welsh said that, I think. Yeah, we're sick of being pushed around, basically, is what he said, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it'll be interesting whether Merritt's relationship with Dean Solomon is something that is maybe tighter than his with Brad Scott. It's hard to tell whether that influenced his decision. I actually saw him in the cafe having a coffee with Darcy Parrish, Elijah Sardis and Jade Gresham just after the news had broken of the decision. They all seemed pretty relaxed out on the track. It'll be an interesting one. How do you think it will affect his willingness to stay?
Oh, I don't think he has a willingness to stay at the moment. I think we're going to see 2025 2.0 this year. Obviously, he was so desperate to get to Hawthorn at the end of last season. It doesn't seem like that's going to change. It does make you wonder, though, is there that 1% that depending on who gets appointed as coach, I know there's a few contenders. One big sort of elephant in the room in a former coach, which I'm sure we'll get to shortly. Will that influence his decision? Can he be won back over depending by who's at the helm? I guess Andrew Welsh and Tim Roberts will be hoping that there's even a 1% chance of that.
That elephant in the room is going to barge through that door right now, Lon. You've had a look at the contenders. The name that everybody thought of almost immediately once we heard the news that Brad Scott was gone was James Hird. Can he coach Essendon again?
Well, this gained momentum quicker than I think anybody could have anticipated. I think it was just minutes after the news broke, it immediately turned to that the push is on to get James back. So I think it's evident that there's a lot of Essendon power brokers behind the scenes that have long pushed for this. I know Kevin Sheedy has been a big supporter of James returning to the club. Realistically, though, this is a guy that hasn't been part of the AFL system for the better part of 11 years. So he might have a lot of support behind closed doors and particularly, you know, among the playing group who grew up watching him. Andrew Welsh obviously had a very close association with him. So it'll be an interesting move to see of this, you know, Andrew Welsh Essendon. The phrase that he used today was the old Essendon, if they do go down that path again of old Essendon people. I know he describes it as the new versus the old, whether that's something they go back to. He's referenced the cases of Sam Mitchell, Justin Longmuir and Josh Carr as going back to their respective clubs, which
went out of his way to bring them up.
Exactly right. So these, as I say, they are seasoned media professionals. They know exactly what they're saying, whether they're saying it or they're not saying it, or these sort of scenarios. But the momentum has really, really gained traction very, very quickly on James. It's an interesting one amongst the Essendon fans as well. I think there would be a great groundswell of support to have him back there. Was never really given a clean run at it, obviously, with everything that was going on, but largely had quite a bit of success in the early years with the Bombers team. So I don't know. I feel like it's one of those ones that people are really far either way on it, aren't they, of this just necessarily cannot happen. I've noticed a lot of people saying today that is it something that you need to do just to have it over with?
Yeah. Is the ghost of James Heard going to hang over the club forever if they don't eventually give him another chance?
Exactly. I mean, Dean Solomon, he hasn't spoken yet. I'm assuming he'll do a press conference later in the week as the interim coach. We're not actually sure whether he wants the job is the other thing. I mean, Josh Fraser is at Carlton. He's been really open that he's not going to pursue that senior position at the Blues, doesn't think he's ready. So we're not too sure how Dean Solomon feels about it. But Ken Hinckley is another name that's been floated heavily today. He was heavily scouted to come in as, I guess, a bit of a mentor role to Brad Scott and help sort of guide him a little bit in a coaching director position. So we know that he's really keen to coach again. I know Tasmania has loomed large for him. He's only 60, I think, later this year. So obviously has a good few years of coaching left in him and still definitely has the fire in the belly there. So I think he's someone that they'll definitely look at in that sort of tried category. There's the likes of Adam Simpson. There's John Longmire in there as well. So there's some really big names in the landscape. I know Nathan Buckley is roundabout too. I can't imagine how Collingwood people would feel about him going to Essendon. But there's some pretty big names out there, along with, you know, the standout assistant coaches, your Hayden Skipworths, your Jamie Grahams, who's gone deep in a number of coaching processes, Brendan Lade. You know, these guys that are around the competition. It is going to be an interesting strategy, though. We don't know. Andrew Welsh is a new president. Are they going to go for someone who's a seasoned senior coach or a new person? They'll work that out in the weeks to come.
If you can take anything from that press conference today, he won't be ruling anything in or ruling anything out. We heard that about 15 times.
Well, that was the question put to him, wasn't it? Have you spoken to James and will you speak to James? I'm not ruling it in and I'm not ruling it out. So talk about things that you say or don't say. He had the opportunity there to be categoric either way, and the door was firmly open.
Yeah, this is a rebuild, Ed, that feels like it's at rock bottom now. They won one of their last 24 games. They've gone 12 months with one victory. Is it a job that coaches will want? Andrew Wells said yes, but like, who's going to be applying for this job when it looks like it's such a steep mountain to climb?
And the Essendon's board just haven't shown faith in their coaches. They've tried everything now. They've tried a succession plan, they've tried a first-time coach, and they've tried an experienced coach, and none of those things have worked. I do think that they will really want to look at someone like Ken Hinckley. I think the relationships with the players are really important from this point, and Kenny is a relationships man. Yeah. He forms very close bonds with his players. I think he takes a very different approach to Brad Scott, and maybe it's the one that this group needs. Maybe the players need to feel a little bit of love from their senior coach. If Essendon's looking for some kind of uptick in performance with the list that they've got and to win games in the back end of the season, I think they need those individual players to feel like they've got a better connection with their coach than what they've had.
Yeah, yeah. We saw a dead coach bounce only 2 weeks ago. They got West Coast this week. Can they go over there and beat them?
No. Not with those injuries, surely.
No, I wouldn't think with the injuries. I know West Coast fell short of Collingwood on the big Scott Pendlebury occasion on Saturday, but they've been in fantastic form. Mm. But, I mean, you don't rule anything in and you don't rule anything out, do you, Josh, as we learned at Essendon today. But they obviously, Andrew Welsh said today, they had to take notice out of the corner of their eye of the bounce that they've seen from Carlton, obviously Melbourne after moving on from Simon Goodwin as well. While they're claiming that it didn't factor into their position, I think the shift in energy at both of those clubs would have to be taken into account.
I am excited about the dead coach derby in a couple of weeks' time between Essendon and Carlton.
The interim cup.
Versus Josh Fraser, that would be a good one to watch.
Yeah, maybe they could swap and be interims with each other or something like that. You can rule in definitely on code.com.au, codesports.com.au. All the news, all the analysis, everything will be breaking around the clock about the Essendon coaching situation. So get over there and make sure you're across that. Make sure you listen to the Integrity Unit each week, a new podcast we've launched. Get on top of that as well. They'll have plenty of news from the footy world. Otherwise, make sure you're on codesports.com.au.